God's voice. When I say that to you, what comes to mind? When I say hearing God's voice, does immediately in your mind you go, yes, yes, I talk to God all the time and I hear from him all the time. Hearing from heaven, hearing God speak to your hearts. Does God speak specifically to you? Certainly on Sunday mornings as you come to church and I share the word of God, God should be speaking to your heart. He speaks to all, but how many will receive? But there are also those in this room that probably, when it comes to hearing the voice of God, it's like, wow, I don't know that I've ever heard the voice. I don't know if I've ever experienced hearing from heaven. I ask God a lot of things. I pray to God a lot of things. I certainly do read his word, but I don't know that he's ever spoken to me. And this is what I want to talk about this morning, because in chapter 10, as we continue to see the trumpets sounding and the things that are happening and the sensationalism that we see in Revelation, in chapter 10, what struck me as I studied this week is how many times heaven spoke to John. How many times he heard a loud voice from heaven speaking to him. And it really got me to the point of going, Lord, I love it when you talk to me. I love it when you show me something. I love it when you reveal something to me, whether it's in your word or it's through prayer or it's through a conversation with someone else. We can hear God's voice through other believers. And it began to make me think of the times in the word of God that God spoke. And I just want to remind you of a couple. When Jesus was baptized, you remember John the Baptist, Jesus coming and the dove descended upon him. And after he was baptized, what happened? A voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Heaven spoke. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being there and witnessing this baptism, witnessing this amazing event, and then hearing a voice from heaven? "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." At his baptism, but also at the Mount of Transfiguration, same type of thing. Peter, James, and John are there. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus in his glorified state. And heaven speaks again. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Hear him. Pay attention to him." And then just before his crucifixion, as Jesus said to God in his closing prayer there, "Father, glorify yourself." Again, heaven opened up and said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Heaven speaks. To the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he heard a voice of heaven. Peter, when he was up on his roof praying, remember, he had grumblies in his tummy, he was hungry, and God said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." God speaks. God spoke. And when we see those examples of heaven speaking, I would hope we'd all be going, "I want to hear that. I want to be in my quiet place. I want to be in somewhere in my life." And all of a sudden, God speaks to me. I want to hear his voice. Do you believe this morning that God still speaks? Do you believe that he wants to speak to you? I would hope you'd say yes. And what we're going to talk about today in Revelation chapter 10 is the power of heaven speaking to us and the ways that we can experience God speaking to us. Because we must remember, we serve a God who created all of creation, all of this stuff. How? He spoke it into existence. He didn't get up and put his tool belt on and start to construct. He just spoke it and it was. The power of God's word. God speaks today, and Jesus said himself, he said it this way, "My sheep hear my voice. They know me, I know them, and they do what I tell them. They follow me." Are you one of his sheep? Are you one of in the flock? Are you one in the body of God? When we sang that song, "I am a child of God," can you say, "That's me? I'm a child of God"? Then you're going to hear his voice. You're going to listen, and you're going to listen and hear his voice. The Bible is one of the best ways to learn to hear God's voice. I can't express it enough, the importance of staying in the Word of God. I know a lot of people, we do lots of devotions. We read a lot of, I get a couple devotions in my emails from different pastors around the country. And devotions are great, but there is nothing more important than sitting down with your Bible, flipping through the pages and saying, "I'm going to read God's Word. I'm going to read it and I'm going to pay attention to it. I want to hear from the Lord." Maybe you have a need in your life. That's the time you sit before God and say, "Lord, I need a word from you. I need you to speak to me And this is your word, and I believe that this word still lives today and will speak into my situation. Spending that time, my friends. If you struggle with hearing God's voice, I want to challenge you in this. Find a scripture. Maybe you have one, or search the Bible, read the Bible, find an area of scripture that really kind of is important to you, and then what I want you to do is continually write out that verse. Write out this verse. Whatever it is, write it down. And after you write it down, say it out loud, and then write it down again. Because what will begin to happen is that verse will come alive to you. That verse will jump off the pages because you're writing it, and you're saying it, you're speaking it, you're going to experience the voice of God. And I just got to tell you, it just absolutely amazed me that, Blake, that you picked Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. It's in my notes. I'm not copying your work. This Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is my all-time favorite verse. It's one of the very first verses I was ever encouraged to memorize. And it's been a verse that has been with me my entire Christian life. Let me put it that way. It's been one that's showed me. It said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run. See, that's the picture in my mind. I'm running. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, one of my all-time, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Has your faith ever been weak? When you think about he's the author and finisher of your faith, there's work to be done. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God and the throne of God. Guys, it's that verse for me that is in my head, it's in my heart, and it comes out of my life. This verse has served me well. When I start to think about fearing things and looking at situations in my life, that's when I'm reminded, look to me, God. Or look to me, Rob. Look to God, Rob. Look to God, Rob. Fix your eyes on me. Why? Jesus says, if you look at me. I always see that picture of Jesus walking on the water and Peter drowning. And once he looks to Jesus, Jesus lifts him up. Looking. Anyway, what I'm getting at is find a verse. Write it out. Let it hide it in your heart so that it will become something that will guide you and direct you in your life. You'll begin to hear the voice of God. And God will, by the power of his Spirit, will speak that verse in your life. I can't tell you the number of times in my life where I've constantly been praying, I just want to fix my eyes on you, Lord, or I'm praying for someone else. Lord, let them get their eyes off of their situation, get their eyes on the Lord. Their eyes on the Lord. And it's been like that for the last several weeks, many people in our church going through some amazing things, and it's just reminding them, get your eyes on Jesus, believe in Jesus. When God doesn't answer your prayer today, you got to believe that he'll answer it tomorrow. That's the kind of faith that we have. That's the kind of things we must believe. Write it down. Speak it out. Let the Holy Spirit write that truth in your heart, because God wants to speak to you, and this is one of the greatest ways for him to speak to you. And that will just be the beginning of a conversation that you're going to have with God, and he's going to tell you what to do, and you're going to do it, and you're going to obey. As we look at chapter 10 of Revelation, if you've been with us for some time, we've gone through the seven seals that were broken, and now we're into the seven trumpets. In the same fashion as the seals, we see the seven trumpets. After six of them, there's a pause. Chapter 7 of Revelation was the pause of the breaking of the seals, just before the seventh seal. Here in chapter 10, we have another pause as the six trumpets have been sounded before the seventh trumpet sounds, which won't happen until chapter 11, or verse 14. We see another pause. Let's pay attention to what it's saying. Let's look. Verse 1, chapter 10. We're going to read the first four verses. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. But here it is. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. Give me your attention. The first thing we see in chapter 10 is this mighty angel that John is envisioning. John sees this mighty angel, another mighty angel that comes down out of heaven. Our first question, I would imagine, who's the angel? Who is this? We get a little bit of a description of what he looks like, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of people, a lot of faithful people, a lot of people who love the Lord that believe that this is none other than Jesus Christ. I personally, and I'm in the camp, I believe what the Bible says. It's a mighty angel. I understand why they think it would be Jesus by the description, okay? In the clouds, right? Jesus comes is going to return in the clouds. He's got a rainbow on his forehead. There's a rainbow around the throne of God, okay? And all those other descriptions that are here kind of lean us towards, is this Jesus? But here's my thing. If it was Jesus, number one, I think John would recognize him. Number two, I think the Bible would be really clear about who it was. So, again, I don't want to split hairs on this, but it's like if you believe that it's Jesus, you're still going to heaven. You just happen to be wrong. If you believe it's a mighty angel, then you're right. No, I'm just kidding. The Bible doesn't tell us, okay? It kind of describes it, and it's very close to the description of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, so I understand it. But I do believe in my heart that in the New Testament, once Jesus has been revealed, he doesn't need to be cloaked anymore. He doesn't need to be hidden into an angel. In the Old Testament, we see it time and time again. It was called the angel of the Lord, right? A Christophany, an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. When Abraham and Sarah were in the wilderness, they were in their tent, and they had three men that visited them. One of them was Jesus Christ, okay? When Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, Genesis chapter 22, as he's about to sacrifice, a voice from heaven cries out and says, Abraham, don't do it. That's Jesus Christ speaking to him, because it says the angel of the Lord called from heaven. And then later on, the second time, and then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not have withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, multiplying, I will multiply your descendants. In the Old Testament, he was the angel of the Lord. In the New Testament, I believe he's Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. He's the crucified one. And I think it would be very clear if we see it that way. I just believe it's an angel. And that's what John is seeing, and that's what he's witnessing. So we know who he is. Notice it also says in verse 10, I saw another angel. If you circle the word another, it's the word in Greek, it's allos. And it means another of the same kind. So it's another angel like the other angels we've been seeing. Some even believe that this might be Michael the archangel, a mighty angel. But notice what the angel does. He has a little book in his hand, verse 2, open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and left foot on the land and cried with a loud voice as with a lion's roar. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. A big conversation's going on. Does anybody know what they've said? Has the Bible told us? Do you know how many books have been written? What the seven thunders said? I mean, here in our Bibles, a voice from heaven comes down and says, John, don't write this. In fact, erase whatever you've written, John. It's not important. Or it's not important yet. And it's amazing to me that people are going to write book after book after book. This is what the seven thunders said. What I find interesting is John is the only one ever to know what they were said, any human being. We just don't know what they've said. There's no way of knowing. What is it about having some information or knowing a secret? Have you ever known a secret and someone said, don't tell anybody? What is the first thing you want to do? Tell somebody. It's been said, a secret is one that's told one person at a time. Have you heard that? I was at my wife's office the other day, and there was one of the girls I was in a meeting with. She looks at me, she goes, "Did your wife tell you what I told her to do?" I'm like, "I don't think so." I go, "What did she tell you to do?" She goes, "I can't tell you." I'm like, "What do you mean you can't tell me? You got to tell me." She goes, "No, I can't tell you." I go, she goes, "Are you sure she didn't tell you?" I go, "I don't know if she told me. Tell me and I'll tell you if she told me." But it's like, oh, that's terrible, isn't it? It's like, I want to tell somebody. And that's what this person said. She goes, "I'm the only one that knows it, and I want to tell somebody." I was like, no, I know that's true. I got to be careful, don't I? No, I won't say. I never try to give out names other than you. She did end up telling me. And I did know. But, I mean, it's that thing. I did. Yeah. I figured I'd get her in trouble, so I'm going to have to go apologize to her now. Sheesh. Yeah. But there's something about a secret. Have you ever been told a secret? How do you do with secrets? I would imagine John the Apostle, he's in his 90s, okay? Poor guy's like, might as well tell somebody. He went to his grave not telling anybody what this was. And I would imagine every single human being sitting in this room right now is going, what did they say? What did the seventh thunder say? We don't know. God doesn't want us to know. And the lesson here for all of us, sometimes God doesn't want us to know everything. We all want to know everything, don't we? God, just tell me. God, please just tell me what to do. God, just tell me what's going to happen. God, help me. And God's going, trust in me. Trust in me. Put your faith in me. Trust in me, because John wants to write it down, but he's told not to. It's one of the hardest things for us to deal with. Listen to me. Again, speaking about hearing God's voice. If God tells you to do something, you should do it. If God tells you not to do something, guess what? You shouldn't do it. That's the lesson. If God speaks it to you, obey it. Don't question it. Just do what he says and trust the outcome. Here, John. John doesn't argue with God. What do you mean? This is good stuff, Lord. The guys are going to love it back on Patmos. This is amazing. I got to tell you, be honest with you, thinking about what the seven thunders might have said, either it's too much for us to handle, or maybe it's just not the right time for it. I don't know what it is, but I believe God knows what's best for us. And so we must trust that. Sometimes God's going to keep some things from us. I just heard a pastor on the radio the other day say he's got a whole list of things that he's going to ask God when he gets to heaven. You know how I feel about that. We're going to get there and go, oh, this is so amazing. I don't remember what I was going to ask you. I can't remember to get home to ask my wife something, let alone I'm going to remember asking God something when I get to heaven. It's just amazing to me. So the angel has this little book in his hand. We're not told what the book is yet. But when John hears what he wants to write, God says, don't write. Look what happens in verse 5. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and the land raised up his hand to heaven, probably his right hand, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. As he declared to the servants, his prophets, we see here in this section again, God speaking from heaven, speaking to his prophets, his will. And we're going to see that there's a mystery here that we'll talk about in a little bit. But in this next section, this angel raises his hand to heaven, right hand to heaven, and swears by him who lives forever and ever. Who's he swearing to? I believe it's Jesus, God, both the same, right? So here's my point. If this mighty angel is Jesus, he doesn't have to swear to heaven. He's Jesus. Jesus says, there's no authority other than me. I'm God. I don't need any other. And so we see that this angel is swearing to heaven, which to me is another indication that this angel is not Jesus, because he doesn't have to swear by anyone. Hebrews 6:13 says, for When God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself. So this is not Jesus. This is an angel raising a hand to heaven. And this angel has a message. And the message is this. There's delay no longer. Have you ever asked God how much longer you got to go through something? Have you ever said, Lord, could I just get through this season in my life? We've all asked it. We all want things to go quickly. We all want things to happen right now. And here this angel is declaring that when the seventh trumpet sounds in chapter 11, there's delay no longer. God's wrath is being poured out. This is God saying, the door of opportunity of my grace is going away. Guys, this should be a very big wake-up call for us to know that there is a day coming that we can no longer share the good news of Christ, that we can no longer lead someone to the Lord. I believe, again, as you've heard me say in the past, this is God's heart breaking, saying, there will be delay no longer. My wrath is going to be poured out, and my grace is going to be closed. What a sad set of circumstances this is going to be in these days. I believe this delay is a picture of God's grace. Aren't you glad God waited for you to get saved? Are there people in your life that you want to get saved before God's wrath gets poured out? Yes. So it's kind of a tough thing, isn't it? Lord, we want you to come back, but not until you save everybody. So that's what we're seeing here, my friends. No longer a delay. I was talking with a friend just this week, and we were just kind of sharing some of the things that are going on in our lives. We were able to pray for each other and encourage each other. It just seems to me over the last, I don't know, month or so, it just seems like we're all getting beat up. I mean, all kinds of things are going on in people's lives. Difficulties, struggles, financial, emotional, physical. I mean, I can't tell you how many people we are praying for cancers and sicknesses and difficulties. And it's like, Lord, help us get through these things. Encourage us, Lord, in these things. And as much as I'm discouraged, it's always fun to encourage someone else. Even though you're discouraged, you're able to encourage somebody else. And this gentleman was able to encourage me. And here's what I'm saying. God spoke to me in this situation as we're praying for each other through a text. And God put this verse on my heart, Romans 8:18, you know it. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. Whatever we're going through, I am absolutely convinced that one day when we're there, or maybe one day when we're here, we'll look back and go, God, it was worth it. Not even worthy to compare the struggles that we went through. God, it's so worth it being a child of yours. Guys, that's the power of God's word. That's the power of his voice speaking to us. Listen, I needed that verse for me. But you know what? God's verses aren't just for one person at a time. For both of us. So we were encouraged. This is what I'm saying. Hide the word in your heart because there are people out there that need it. Maybe someone in this room needed to be reminded that the struggles you're going through today are not even going to be worthy to be remembered when you're in his glory, when he accomplishes his will and when he gets all the praise. And I hope you can trust in that. I hope you can depend on that. What is it you're waiting for in your life to happen? Some of you younger people waiting for a spouse. Some of us older people, you know, waiting for, I don't know, financial peace or whatever it is. We're all waiting for something. And here we see God saying, there'll be no more delay. I mean, I'm excited about those times when God finally answers our prayers. And we can say, your timing is perfect, Lord. Your timing is perfect. Because I believe that there is a day coming that we won't have to worry about going to work anymore. Amen? We won't have to worry about getting sick or dying or getting cancer. No more deadlines, no more traffic jams. Amen to me. Not have to worry about what you eat anymore. Are you kidding me? Forget gluten-free, forget organic, forget broccoli. There will not be broccoli in heaven. I'm telling you, I think the health food in heaven is going to be chocolate. If my Bible reads right, when I study it, it says it's going to be more than I can imagine, heaven. I can imagine chocolate fountains everywhere. There's a day coming, guys, that all of this is going to be worth it if we can just endure through the end. Listen to me. We can't endure to the end on our own. We so desperately need each other. Yes, we need God, we need Jesus, we need the Word, we need to pray, but we need each other desperately. And shame on us if we're trying to get through tough times in our life by ourselves. Shame on us. God would look down and go, why? Why are you doing that? Get somebody that cares about you. Get them alongside you and talk to them. Let God speak to you through them. Sometimes we just need it, and none of us are outside of that. There's times I need someone to speak into my life to bring encouragement so that I can encourage others. So if you're going through something, get around someone, speak to someone, let God speak to you. The thing he says here, notice this in verse 7. It says, but in those days, the sounding of the seventh angel, when it is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. The mystery of God will be finished. What is that? The mystery of God is not a hidden truth that's in God. It's a truth that needs to be revealed to you. That's the mystery of God. And when we think about the mystery of God, is not the grace of God a mystery to some of us? Why is he gracious to us? Because that's just the way he is. And in the end, the mystery of God is going to be finished. In other words, it's going to be an open book. We're going to know everything about God that we need to. And that's what he's saying, the end is coming. And we're going to realize that he spoke this to the prophets. And if we would study our word, we'd see what God spoke to the prophets so that we'd be ready for these days. Lastly and finally, look at verse 8. Then the voice, which I heard from heaven, again, spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the book. I hope he said, please. I mean, I don't know. It's a big, mighty angel. I'd be scared. Give me the book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. This last section here, speaking about the little book that's in this angel. Again, in this entire chapter, there's more we don't know than what we do know. What is this book? Don't know. What's written in the book? No idea. We can think that it's probably the word of God. As the voice from heaven says, go take the book and then eat it. Doesn't mean to really eat it, but it means to digest, get the word of God inside of you. If John is going to prophesy about many things to many nations, tongues, and peoples, he's got to have the word of God in him. What's amazing to me is what I said earlier. John is 90 years old, and God is saying to him, there is much more work you need to do, John. Can you imagine? I'm thinking at 90, I want to sit back. God is never done using us. There is nobody in this room that is older than God can use you. Do you understand the value in people that have been walking with the Lord for a long time? The value in someone that's had an experience with God for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, to be around someone like that, that knows the Lord? Do you have people in your life that are speaking into you that have wisdom? Wisdom, and this is what John is doing. Listen, if we're going to be effective in life, if we're going to be able to endure trials and temptations, if we're going to go through tough times, it's going to be because we have the Word of God in us. It's because we have the truth, not because we feel good, not because we're doing the right things, but because we know that God is faithful. I think that's one of the greatest things for a believer, that no matter what happens in our lives, we can always say, God is so faithful. God is so faithful. Never lose grasp of that. Never lose grasp of the effects of the Word of God. Now it says here, in your mouth it's going to be sweet, but in your belly it's going to be bitter. How many of us have known the Word of God to be so good? How many of us have read a scripture and said, man, did I need that? That just feeds my soul. But then how many times do we read another word and go, oh, that convicts me a lot. That's a little bitter. That's a little hard to take. And I think what also he's talking about, John is listening. He knows that there's going to be people that have denied Christ, that have denied God, and they're going to be eternally separated from him. And that's a bittersweet thing for us. When these doors close, yes, we're going to be sorry that certain people didn't get in. But here's the reality. It's a choice that we all must make. Every single one of us in this room personally has to say whether they believe or they don't, whether they accept or they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a personal thing. I can lead you there. I can share things with you to get you there. I can show you things in the Word of God that prove that Jesus is who he says. But until you embrace it, until you accept it, there's nothing more we can do. You have to accept. And my prayer this morning is that every single person in every single one of these seats this morning believes that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he is your Savior, and that he is your provider, and that he will provide for you to get through whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever loss you've experienced, whatever pain you've experienced, whatever pain or suffering you're going through right now. He'll be there with you to get you through. There's one thing about Calvary Chapel and churches like it that I love so very much, and that's our love for the Word of God. Because it's not just, we just love the good parts, right? I mean, there's a lot of good verses in the Bible. But there's other areas that we just want to avoid. When I was doing our Wednesday night Bible study, I got to tell you, I talked about it, I think, since chapter 8 or 9, about chapter 15 of Leviticus. Chapter 15 of Leviticus is about bodily discharges. And I really didn't want to have to teach that in front of other women. So for many weeks, I kept saying, hey, make sure you study Leviticus chapter 15 because we're going to skip it. But I got to tell you what. For me personally, it was our best Bible study. I was amazed at what God showed and what God revealed in that chapter. You know, many of us probably read genealogies to go to sleep at night. But they're all very important. God wouldn't put them in there if they weren't important. The importance of God's word, my friends, one that we must have hidden in our hearts, one that we must obey and that we must follow, and that we must encourage one another to do the same. John's prophecy is going to be from chapter 12 to the end of the book. Surely John fulfills his purpose, as it says here in verse 11, that he had much to prophesy about. What purposes does God have for you? How does God want to use your life? My friends, he will speak it to you. I can't tell you what your call is. Only God can. And if he speaks it to you, you need to obey it. If he tells you to do something, you need to do it. If he tells you not to do something, you shouldn't do it. Let's be obedient to his word, but we have to get the word inside us. The only way the word's going to come out of us if it's inside us. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we are grateful that you have given us the scriptures that we might study, that we might be good students of your word. But Lord, we also know that we have a Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that can remind us of scripture. The Holy Spirit knows all of the Bible. And so it's the Holy Spirit that can bring scriptures to our hearts, to bring verses to our minds in our time of need, or maybe in the time of someone else's need. And so, God, I pray that though in this chapter 10 there's a lot we don't know, I pray that we would embrace the things that we do know, that you're the one that's in control, that you're the one that's in control of the trumpets, you're the one that's in control of destiny, you're the one that's in control of our lives. And so as we continue to pray that you would provide for us and that you would meet our needs and heal us and raise us and cure us of our sicknesses and our shortcomings, God, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would speak into our hearts and speak into our lives. God, raise us up in these last days. Let us be a church that is found faithful to the very end. It's too easy to give up, and that's what the enemy wants us to do. But I pray that none of us in this room would desire to give up, but we would just seek you ever stronger, Lord, that you would equip us in our time of need. We love you, God. We thank you for who you are. We pray your blessings upon our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.